Tom Watkins has traveled the globe as an education and business consultant. He also was the former state superintendent for schools here in the state of Michigan, and he's on the other end of our McLaren Health Plan phone line. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Tony. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. What did you do this weekend?
Oh, I got to ride my bike and enjoy just the beautiful Michigan weather.
All right. I was thinking about you last night and actually over the weekend when I was watching the Olympics, and there was some commentary on many of the countries who are represented at the Olympics, how, and to be most specific, China sends its children as young of an age of five to these academies where they can be developed as athletes. But academically, they go to school 6 days a week and up to 12 hours a day. I thought that that was interesting, and I wanted to get your take on that. And I wondered, since we're not at the top when it comes to academics for kids, why aren't our kids working a little bit harder and a little bit longer?
Well, clearly, we're going to have to work a little harder and a little longer. In fact, we're going to have to work both smarter, harder, and longer if we're going to be able to compete and collaborate on the world stage. As we've talked many a times before, Tony, our children in Lansing and Okemos and St. John's aren't competing just against the children in the next seat or the next district or the next state over. They're going to have to compete, collaborate, cooperate with the children in the world moving forward. And so you're right to make that connection. But the other hand, we do a lot of things here very well. I mean, just watching the closing ceremony of the Olympic Games and showed the level of creativity we have in the West that is lacking. Creativity and innovation is our trump card as we move forward in the 21st century.
Do you think our students need to have more full-time instruction, whether that means Saturdays, whether that means longer hours in school?
Well, doing more of the same stuff in the same way is not necessarily going to get us where we need to go. We do need the level of creativity, innovation, new thoughts of way to education. That's one of the programs, and I know you've had the founders on your program, the Way Academy, the wayprogram.net, is a blended e-learning program that is showing great promise of using technology and learning science in a way that can blend technology, having high, rigorous academic standards, and using the technology in a way that can advance teaching and learning. Wayprogram.net is something that people should take a look at.
Would it benefit students in the U.S. to go to school year-round?
Again, I think that it depends on what the program is. Again, more of the same old stuff that isn't getting us where it needs to go isn't necessarily the prescription that I would give. It's assuring that we have high-quality teachers, that we're not just putting the sage on the stage and having some boring teacher standing in front of you lecturing you. That's not going to get it in the 21st century.
Recently saw an article. As a matter of fact, you sent it to me. It was interesting. It was called the China Daily USA, and the article was titled American Students' Tales Exemplify Diversity of Interest. Tell us about that.
Well, they are. One of the things that we need that are happening in China, it's not unusual, not only in the premier schools, but out in the countryside, young people are learning Chinese. Chinese is spoken by one-fifth of all humanity. It's the fastest-growing economy in the world, and 18 out of the last 20 centuries, China had the largest economy, and they're coming on gangbusters as the 21st century expands. We need to be doing more to teach our children about China, history, culture, and language. And that's what that article in the China Daily is about. And it's been recommended as well by the President and the Congress that we learn more strategic language, primarily Chinese, Arabic, and some of the, and Farsi and some of the other Asian languages.
Tom Watkins recently wrote that emergency managers are a necessary tool. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a column that I've done for the Lansing State Journal. I write a weekly column on Sundays for them. And look, I would prefer that an emergency manager was not needed, but I equate it to a child. In too many cities and school districts, they don't clean up their mess, they don't clean their room, they don't follow the rules, and this goes on year in, year out. And, you know, the state says if you don't clean your room, you're not going out on Friday night. Well, historically, they didn't clean their room, and not only did they get to go out on Friday night, they got extra money and the keys to the car. Enough is enough. People know these problems exist. They cannot continue to spend what they don't have. And if the cities and school districts won't clean up their academic mess as it relates to a school or the financial mess as it relates to both schools and municipalities, then it's appropriate for the state to step in. Cities are, in fact, the schools are creatures in the state, and it would be irresponsible for this governor or any other governor just to sit by and to watch the continual catastrophe that has happened in far too many of our schools and municipalities across the state.
Tom, we had the president of the Detroit Teachers Union on the program on Friday. As a matter of fact, we had him on 2 days in a row because we had so many questions for him. And he had told us that he believes that the emergency manager program implemented by Michigan, by the governor, is too strong of a method. It gives too much power to the emergency manager and not enough say, if you will, to those who are involved, whether it's a school district, whether it's a city, whether it's a city council, whether it's a board of education. What do you think about that?
I know Keith Johnson is a good man, and we just disagree. For far too long, we've allowed messes to continue. The Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, has called the Detroit Public Schools the worst school district in America. We have dropout problem that if it was a public health issue, it'd be considered an epidemic. We have what is transpiring in Detroit. And I'm sad to say this, but it's educational genocide. We have children year in, year out, decade, decade out, generation, generation out, that are not getting the education they need and deserve in order to thrive, let alone, or to survive, let alone thrive, in this 21st century hyper-competitive global economy. That is tragic, Tony, not only to that child, that family, that our city of Detroit, our region, to our state and nation. A child that doesn't get a decent education today is going to be an adult with no future tomorrow. And if you think it's just targeted at Detroit or other urban areas, you're sadly mistaken. If we don't get this right, I mean, that child is coming to you someday as a potential employee, a potential customer, or perhaps with some other nefarious ideas in mind. Our prisons are filled with failures, not just of school systems, but of adults that didn't do their job, didn't prepare them for this new world. And if we continue down the same path without some change, it's going to be doom, not only for the city of Detroit, but our state. We cannot continue to allow this to occur.
Tom, on Friday, I received an email from a listener who wanted me to propose the question to Mr. Johnson, and he was gone by the time I received the email. But her question was the fact that she thinks that the recent test scores, which shows that many of the students in urban areas aren't faring well and not faring nearly as well in test scores as students in other areas of the state, she believes that in most schools, the teaching is geared more toward just passing those tests as opposed to students reaching the highest level that they can as individuals when it comes to academics. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, the comment is pretty sad, but because if, in fact, they're teaching to the test in Detroit, they're even doing that pretty bad because very few kids are passing the test. We need, as I've said before, higher level thinking. We don't need just rote memorization. We ought to be doing quite a better job. And one of the things that I think is happening, the governor's created what is referred to as the Education Achievement Authority, which is going to take over the top five failing school districts across the state, starting with 15 in Detroit. Dr. John Covington is the chancellor of that school. He's a dedicated, hardworking, committed educator that's willing at looking at things differently, and he's got some exciting programs for the children of Detroit, for these schools that he's taking over. But all this chaos that's going on, and I'll call it exactly what it is about power, control, politics, and adults. It has nothing to do with teaching, learning, and children. Until we get the focus back on TLC, teaching, learning, and children, in the city of Detroit and many school districts, we're going to continue to fail our children, and that is not good for any of them.
In Michigan, are we challenging our students enough?
I think that we can always step it up a notch. There's some excellent schools in the city of Detroit, and certainly across the state of Michigan, but we have educational islands of excellence, oftentimes in a sea of despair. We're in a new world. We need to adapt and make sure that we're preparing all of our children, not just some of them, all of our children, in order to be successful moving forward.
Can for-profit charter schools be successful?
Look, the way I look at it, the only adjective that should matter before school is the word quality. A crappy charter school is no better than a crummy traditional school, and vice versa. The word that we should focus on from the governor, the legislature, school boards, superintendents, principals, and teachers has to be quality. We have to find a way to assure that our children are prepared for this future, or as I've said, Tony, it really is going to be the doom of our country. Moving forward, talent matters. Creating high-quality children through the educational process is the only thing that is really going to be the foundation on which we build our cities, state, and nation.
Tom, when it comes to funding for education, K all the way through higher ed, how much more do you think we need to invest in education here in the state of Michigan?
Tony, in all due respect, I think it's a wrong question. Colleague and someone I have a great deal of respect for, Richard McCollum, has been asked, an attorney there in Lansing, has been asked by the governor to take a look at the funding system. And the governor has it right this way as well, is that he's asking where's the value for the dollar. Depending on whose figures you use, we've got anywhere between $15 to $20 billion to educate 1.6 million children in the state of Michigan. We ought to ask ourselves, are we just rewarding what is referred to as butts and seats, whether a kid's just sitting there, or are we valuing, educating, and paying for accomplishments of schools? And I commend the governor for having the courage to take a look at this issue. There's some districts where we need to spend money differently. There's districts where we need to spend more, because a number of our children are starting life further behind because of poverty and a number of other social issues. We have to invest wisely, smartly, and differently, and in some cases with increased resources.
We need to really
just not look at it as just piling more money on top of the existing system. That won't get us where we need to go.
Well, to be more specific, sure, we could probably use more computers and more tablets for learning, but when I talk to union officials, they tell me they need smaller class sizes so that schools could be more effective. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think smaller class sizes most times is a great value. But let's ask the question, what about some of the kids that are able to move on to the university at an earlier age? Why do we tie an anchor to those children and keep them in the K-12 system? Why don't we allow them to go forward? Why don't we take, I call it senior year, far too many of our kids, for kids that are bright and capable, state-subsidized dating? Because they've mastered a number of the languages, and yet we don't do enough to push them on into community colleges or other ways of learning. So we need to take a look at the complete system. And again, I commend the governor for asking someone like Richard McCollum to take a look at this. And that's something I would encourage you to really keep an eye on, because we should constantly ask, are we getting the value for our dollar, not just asking whether we're going to just put more money into the same thing that in too many cases isn't delivering the goods that we all deserve.
Thanks so much, Tom. Enjoy your day.
Enjoy. Take care.
It's currently 64 degrees, mostly cloudy skies on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS.